It's an election year, and the amount of attention on this year's U.S. presidential election is already off the charts. From eating pets in Springfield to multiple assassination attempts, it's hard to keep a level head, but today we have to take a look at a new conspiracy theory with the latest attempt on former President Donald Trump. My goal is to provide you with a minimally biased perspective at this realm where politics, conspiracies, and symbolism merge together so you can keep a clear head and stay positive in the year 2024. My name is Isaac Weishaupt. I'm the host of your show, Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture, and today you're going to need my expertise to guide you. That's right. I have a particular set of skills, and we're going to talk about the second... I shouldn't laugh. The second... I'm not laughing at this. I'm laughing at my weird language I'm coming up with off the cuff. We're going to look at the second assassination attempt on Donald Trump. This time we're going to look at this man named Ryan Routh, and I'm going to catch you up with all the conspiracies and symbolism from Ryan's criminal history, political interests, his fighting in Ukraine, a debunked BlackRock ad that's actually much worse than BlackRock, scrubbed social media with supposed CIA followers, interviews by Newsweek, a Time magazine cover showing us predictive programming symbolism. And I'm going to read to you from Ryan's self-published book that I bought just for you, in which he talks about assassinations, nuking Russia, and photos of decapitated babies. I am not exaggerating. It's all here today, so strap in. It's going to be quite the ride. Now, truth be told, I've done 3 episodes on this topic already, right? Trump conspiracy part 1, part 2, part 3. Links are always in the show notes. And this is going to be part 4. Hopefully the last one. And I started crafting a part 4, but my judgment told me, you know what, I'm not going to do it. Because this isn't a political show. I don't do politics, all right? Sometimes these realms collide, and I do cover it, so... I'm going to catch you up with what's happened since part 3. Hermione McGonagall sent me this astrology video. This is referring to the first attempt where Trump got, if you recall, in PA at a rally, he got shot in the ear, which miraculously cured 100% within 2 weeks. I don't know about that. That seems odd. But I know a lot of you get real mad at me, so I'm not going to go into it, but I'm just saying it's odd. Right, can we agree with that? If you get shot in the ear, I mean, it's odd. So, apparently, astrologically, there was a... And look, I don't know astrology. There's a star named Aligol that's associated with head traumas, and it fell into the 26th degree Taurus, and she looked at Trump's natal chart, with the dates and locations and crap, and how the sky was Mars-Uranus in conjunction with Taurus, and Mars is associated with anger, the god of war. Uranus is sudden shocking events, and Aligol, this head trauma star, it was near the peak point on Donald's chart, apparently. What does it mean? I honestly couldn't tell you. I watched the video twice. I tried to take notes, and I was like... I'm not sure what these people are talking about. But, you know, astrology is the oldest of the occult arts, right? Tracking the stars, a little bit of alchemical as above, so below plays into it. So, the point being, the first attempt was apparently conducted on a certain astrological significance. There was also a video of a UFO, supposedly, at that incident. And since then, Biden stepped down, obviously. And there was people saying that he's gone, he's missing, and no one's seen him since he got COVID. They thought he was dead. The signature wasn't right. People are saying, oh, he quit because he was behind the botched attempt, right? And the timing was sus of the whole thing, right? It was right before the RNC, where the Republican Party could have replaced him. Right. And, you know, Kamala is now the new nominee for the Democratic Party. Anyway. And then RFK Jr., obviously, he stepped down. And he said during, it was some State of the Union, and I have in my notes, but again, I bailed on this idea of doing a fourth show, but now I kind of have to. He said enough is enough in some State of the Union he was putting on. And remember, that was the phrase from the Steve Jackson Illuminati card, which, plot spoiler, we're going to talk about a new Steve Jackson Illuminati card on this episode. And Trump said it was this whole thing, right? Very strange. And when people are like, well, what does it mean? I don't know what it means. It could just be synchromysticism of the universe pushing events to happen in our world. That's what the astrology would be if you wanted an interpretation of that. And people sort of being, I don't know, deterministically making these events happen. So now, the big bulk of today's subject, this new attempt. What happened? Well, a man named Ryan Routh got arrested for allegedly, right? It's still innocent until proven guilty in this country, but arrested for the attempted assassination of Trump at Trump's golf course at Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach on September 15th. Now, at first, the claims were that shots were fired towards Trump. Then the narrative was that Secret Service actually spotted the guy and shot towards him. That's where the gunshots were heard. And Trump was golfing with Steve Witkoff, who's apparently a bigwig Republican donor. He gave a speech at the RNC, so, you know, he's connected. And Ryan Routh was lurking at the Trump golf course for 12 hours. I guess he set up shop like 2 in the morning or something. And a lot of people, one of the big conspiracies is, how did he know? How did he know Trump was going to be golfing? Because nobody in the public knew. It wasn't advertised. So people say this was an inside job. Or maybe it was a safe guess. Let's play that angle out first. Neil McCarthy wrote an article about presidents playing golf November 11th, 2020. I'm going to read to you from it. There used to be a website, TrumpGolfCount.com, because, you know, it's like all this political bickering. People constantly on either side complain about how much a president's vacationing or playing golf. So I imagine that's what it was. The website's not there anymore. But they've been tracking Trump's golfing activities for years, and it claims he accumulated 285 daytime visits of golf since he became president, with the evidence of him playing on at least 142 occasions. Says that doesn't come close to Eisenhower's golf count, blah, blah, blah. During the same time, Barack Obama played 105 rounds of golf, so much less. The financial side of presidential golfing has also attracted scorn, given that trips on Air Force One, Secret Service protection, and accommodation all tend to be expensive for taxpayers. The New York Times talked about this angle of the golf conspiracy, and they said, it is public knowledge that Mr. Trump frequently plays golf at one of his Florida courses on Sundays, raising the risk level for the former president. Now, what's kind of occulted here, because, you know, this show, we talk about occult symbolism, not politics. And what's occult here is that golfing has close ties, because golfing was invented in Scotland, as is the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, okay? And the symbolism of two ball cane is a golf club with two golf balls, right? And you're probably familiar with all these things, right? You know what I'm talking about. You've been subscribed to the show since 2014. When I started podcasting, you're on board. So Ryan Routh. Now we're going to spend the rest of the show talking about Ryan Routh, because he is quite the enigma. In 1991, Routh fought and chased. This is from Wikipedia. I'm talking about this background, going back to 91. Because I'm going to give you some pros. I don't know. Is that the right term? I'm going to give you some aspects of his life that sometimes you think, hey, he's kind of a good guy. Then other times you're like, no, he's horrible. Then other times you're going to say, oh, he's crazy. You know, you're going to, because that's kind of what it is. In 1991, Routh fought and chased a suspected rapist For confronting the suspect, he was honored as a super citizen and awarded a law enforcement Oscar by the Greensboro chapter of International Union of Police Associations. But he was also a bad boy. No diddy, bad boy. On December 15th through the 16th, 2002, Routh was convicted of possessing a firearm, resisting, delaying, and obstructing a law enforcement officer, and driving with license revoked after a three-hour standoff with police. He was pulled over while driving, and during the traffic stop, he put his hand on a gun and then drove to a nearby business where he barricaded himself inside. What? In 2003, he was sentenced for driving without a license, carrying a concealed weapon, and hit and run. In 2010, he was convicted of possessing stolen goods. For each of these charges, he was given probation. Okay, I'm just going to keep throwing evidence at you, and you come to your own conclusion, as always. Then, my favorite, Jessica over at House and Habit, she's got a Substack. If you're not subscribing, I don't know what you're doing. She's got an article, and kind of the gist of it was, hey, is this a political thing, or was this guy nuts? And his son told the Daily Mail, because they interviewed his son after they arrested him, talked about how his dad hated Trump. And he said he hated Trump as any reasonable person would. So the kids seem a little political. A little bit. Both of Routh's children, this is from House and Habit, both of Routh's children shared his passion for liberal activism. Ryan's family was deeply involved in left-wing activism, and they had the mugshots to show for it. And there's two mugshots, one of, I guess his son, and the other of his daughter, Sarah Ellen Routh, from May 19th, 22, arrested for assault on a government official. Now, Ryan Routh, I think he's in his late 50s. He owned a roofing company, but was apparently in a lot of debt, had a lot of financial problems, ended up getting divorced. I'm going to read to you from House and Habit. Ryan started getting into trouble with the law, often for minor issues, but his behavior grew more erratic. He attended high school parties with his kids. Do you guys ever watch, side note, do you guys ever watch the HBO show Small Town Ecstasy? I remember watching that when me and Josie were, 18, 19, watching this documentary, and it's about a guy who, I want to say he was like 40, and he was going to raves with his children. And I remember being like, oh, what an old weirdo. And now that I'm 44, I'm like, oh man, that's me, I guess. But I don't go to raves or hang out with high school kids. You know what I mean, though. But apparently that was this guy, Small Town Ecstasy. He attended high school parties with the kids, made inappropriate advances towards women, and became obsessed with environmental crises, breaking down in tears over global issues. Now, the made inappropriate advances towards women is going to be interesting when I read you from his book, because he has a very interesting stance, we'll say, about how awful men are. During the divorce, that's when some political shifts started happening in the family. The kids parroting, posting some of their dad's beliefs. I personally think their eventual hardcore political activism was a means of connecting with their dad since he was unavailable. Bah, 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 bah. Ryan started getting in trouble with the law. He was always in trouble with the law for stupid stuff, quote unquote, driving without insurance, etc. He also started traveling a lot around that time. His political activism took strange, inexplicable turns. He traveled to remote locations, joining random communities, and immersing himself in their lives for brief periods. If they were sleeping in the dirt, he was sleeping in the dirt. He'd build them a house, get really entrenched, and then disappear a few weeks later. Ryan took his daughter on some of those trips, though no apparent cause or organization appears to be tied to his travel. And that's kind of important at debunking some of the conspiracies behind this guy. If it's true, right? But, a lot of these intelligence agencies, they funnel money through various, they know what they're doing. If that's the theory you want to go with, that he's part of some intelligence operation. But we'll talk about it later. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I'm going to tell you the info and you decide. Desperate to make an impact, he headed to Ukraine last year to fight the Russians. According to sources, he was ultimately rejected for being a, quote, whack job. Okay. Voter records. Should we talk about that? Or talk about his arrest history? Well, okay, so apparently he asked for an absentee ballot in 2016, but ended up not voting. But later he claims he voted for Trump in 16, but then hated Trump after that. Plot spoiler, I think he's just got mental illness. That's what it seems like to me. But what do I know? I'm going to read you from AP News. Routh lived most of his life in Greensboro, North Carolina, where his run-ins with law enforcement included a 2002 felony conviction for possessing explosive, detonation cord, and a blasting cap, according to court records. I know a thing or two about those. I used to run the emergency destruction of munitions in the Air Force. What you do is, det cord. You wrap the det cord around explosives, and then you have time fuse. And you got a blasting cap and igniter, and you ignite the time fuse, and that gives you, you know, a minute to get away, however long you make the time fuse cord. And you get away, then the dead cord, it's instantaneous, just pow, blows up. So, my point is, he didn't have any time fuse. Once he lit that thing, he was going to explode. So they probably saved his life. Should they have? I don't know. The News and Record of Greensboro reported that the arrest came after Routh fled from a traffic stop and held off police for 3 hours with a fully automatic machine gun at a roofing business. State records listed him as the business owner. Now, all these arrests and this rich history of him being a violent terrorist of sorts and him not doing any real prison time is very either our system isn't good at handling people like this, because he should have not had a gun at some point in all this, right? I know, like, the Second Amendment people say, oh, no, everyone gets guns. And it's like, well, not everyone. Not everyone should, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Hey, yeah, you know, hey, don't get mad at me. This guy just seems kind of violent and unhinged and mentally ill. That's all I'm saying. It seems like he gets a lot of second chances, which then leans me into more of the, okay, was he an asset that they were going to use? And they were like, look, you're going to go do some prison time or you're going to do some work for us. Court records show authorities seized the explosives and an undefined number of firearms from Routh. As part of a plea deal, Routh agreed to undergo a mental health evaluation and comply with any treatment recommendations. The documents provided to the AP by the county clerk on Monday do not include the results of that evaluation. Records also show Routh was convicted of a felony count of possession of stolen goods in 2010, as well as misdemeanors, including illegally carrying a concealed weapon, a hit and run, speeding and driving with a revoked license. Court records from the 2010 felony case say detectives determined Routh was storing stolen building supplies and other items at his roofing business warehouse, where he was living at the time. Money from the sale of the stolen goods was used to purchase crack cocaine, according to a police affidavit used to get a search warrant. In both the felony cases, court records show judges sentenced Routh to either probation or a suspended sentence, allowing him to escape prison time. It was not immediately clear how Routh was able to obtain a weapon. In most states, it's generally forbidden for a person convicted of a felony to purchase or possess a firearm. And I think in Utah, I bought a 9mm and I swear they asked me a questionnaire. If you have like a medical cannabis license, I don't think they can sell you one. I don't think you're allowed to buy one. I'm like, how is this guy? this crazy. It's a crazy country. Now, House and Habit points out statements about how one minute he's anti-gun, another minute he's buying AK-47s and all this stuff. Now he was because he had an assault rifle at the location. He was 300 to 500 yards away from Trump, who was between holes 5 and 6, And they have photos of this place he was set up. There was a backpack, an HD camera, a scope, and an assault rifle. But they saw him, and they shot at him, and he ran away, and then they caught him. Okay, basically. But is that how it really went? The New York Times says, the defendant, Ryan Routh, 58, did not get a shot off on Sunday. The agency's acting director, Ronald L. Rowe Jr., said at a news conference. Instead, agents opened fire on him, preventing what officials have described as an apparent assassination attempt by someone with a lengthy criminal record. Now, House and Habit says, the article says, although multiple shots were fired at Trump during a game of golf at his club in West Palm Beach, Oran Routh still insists his father is not a violent person. I mean, so which is it, right? Which is it? Let's see here. House and Habit says, in the end, it appears that Ryan's assassination attempt was not the act of a seasoned extremist, but rather the desperate act of a man lost in his own delusions. Having failed as a father, a husband, and a man, ouch. Damn, Jessica. He saw this as his final shot at redemption. Now, I actually agree with this. Yeah, he seems like he had mental health issues. Not shocking. Our country's full of that. All right. Now, what happened since then? Well, his social medias got scrubbed. Interesting move by Elon Musk, because he had a Twitter that he was very active on. Elon Musk, Mr. Free Speech, apparently, you know, because was that the whole deal? Was Jack Dorsey's Twitter? They were, you know, they were given marching orders by the intelligence agencies, and they were told, like, hey, you can't talk about Hunter Biden's laptop before the election. So they scrubbed all that. I mean, isn't this the same thing? Did the FBI reach out to Elon and, like, hey, scrub this guy's account? And is that okay? I don't know. I mean, it's just interesting because Elon seems like the kind of guy who's like, no, free speech at all costs for everyone. And it's like, is that true, though? He censors a lot of people, from what I understand and hear. After the shooting, where did I read this? Was this on AP? This might have been on House and Habit. After the shooting, Ryan's social media accounts were completely scrubbed. Before they were stripped, a source noted something strange. Ryan followed an ex-CIA agent with over 100,000 followers, despite having very few followers himself. It was weird, the source remarked. She followed him back, and he was a nobody. Why? That was on the House and Habits article. Now, I looked all over different videos and stuff, but apparently he followed 60 people. One of them was at Miles Soo Kim. Soo Kim. It's a private account that you can't really look at. You know what? I forgot. I was going to actually check. Because sometimes people will make, like, fake accounts, especially after, like, big events like this. Yeah, so Miles, no, I'm sorry, M-L-L-E-S-O-O-K-I-M. It's a protected, meaning private, only approved followers can see her tweets. I think this is the same person that Jessica's talking about. But when you look at Soo Kim's profile, it says she follows 848 people and she has 3,440 followers, okay? And she's got links to Rand Corporation and Yale and SAIS, the Philip Merrill Center for Strategic Studies. And these are all like political think tanky type organizations. Now, some people claim that Soo Kim, just like her article says, some people claim that Soo Kim followed old Ryan back. I haven't seen proof of that, but that's the claim. But I guess the implication here is that supposedly that's the connection in with the intelligence agencies. You know, whatever. That she apparently was part of the connection there, which would be why Elon supposedly deleted his account. All right. Now, lots of people question this and they say, look, this guy had money he was going all over the place recruiting for Ukraine, which is strange. But his Twitter, apparently, I didn't see it. I can't confirm any of this. In fact, you can, on Twitter, someone posted a video, like a 5-minute video of them scrolling through all of his tweets before they, because they knew that it was going to get deleted. So, smart move. But, I mean, it's like this person, the tweets are flying by. You got to pause it and read them all, and it's a lot. So, I didn't go through all of that, all right? But apparently, he had some COVID conspiracies on there, too. Now, another weird thing, he lived in North Carolina, but also had a place in Hawaii. And I was talking to Dr. Anteater about this, because he's got a Dr. Anteater with the 4chan report. Tells me that they go by a term over there, and is it derogatory? I don't know. They call themselves autists. I think it's a reference for like autistic type personalities. So don't come at me. That's what they call themselves, apparently. But the autists on 4chan say, they're like, hey, Ryan's house was blue, and it was in Hawaii. And if you remember, we did a whole show on the Maui fire conspiracies. That was one of the big theories, was the supposedly a laser beam started the fire, and Oprah and all these celebrities have blue houses, blue roofs, that the lasers wouldn't affect. And there was blue umbrellas that were in the middle of a bunch of burnt up stuff, and that proves it. I mean, it's kind of wild stuff. But apparently his house was blue. I seen the photo. It's blue. That's but it's in Oahu, not Maui. Different island. I'm going to read you another theory from 4chan. This is from Dr. Anteater's 4chan report. There's a theory based off the people that Trump was around at the time. You know, Secret Service, Hannity, Lindsey Graham. And one of them, allegedly, the theory is that one of them leaked the location directly to Ryan Rausch. People think it was Lindsey Graham because the Secret Service wouldn't have the nuts to try it again. You know, that assuming the first one was staged like that. So 4chan's got some weird stuff going on, you know. Then there's this claim that Ryan was in a BlackRock ad. Because if you remember, the first shooter, Crooks, was named Matthew Crooks. He was in a BlackRock ad. And we talked about it in part one, I believe. And it is weird. And there's this ad with Ryan Rausch in it. And you're like, what is going on? This is strange. It's for sure strange. And people immediately on Twitter, it's all over, are incorrectly saying this is another BlackRock ad. It's not, from what I can read. It's apparently a commercial from Azov, which is like a neo-Nazi group out of Ukraine, I guess. I don't... Again, this gets into the realm of politics, because I remember a lot of people were really upset with the truther community when we started helping Ukraine fight Russia. Because they're like, oh, look, there's Nazis in Ukraine. And I'm like, I guess. I mean, Nazis all over the place. And Azov is the Nazi group. But apparently this is a commercial for Azov. It's like a fundraiser for Ukraine. Again, feel free to dig into that as deep as you want. But that's what this commercial is. And it is strange that this guy appears in a commercial just like the last guy. I mean, it tells me possible connections here. Now, he wasn't in a BlackRock ad, but he was interviewed by Newsweek in 2022. I saw the video on New York Post. It was when he was in Ukraine. It's 10 minutes long, and he loves to talk. I watched the whole thing. And he talks about why he's in Ukraine, and because Russia's too divisive, and how political leaders nowadays don't have enough kindness in their heart. And I'm like, bro, you just tried to shoot somebody. What are you talking about? But he's in Ukraine to promote the fight. New York Times also had an article with this guy in it from 2023. I couldn't read it because they block it. And he was also in a YouTube, there's a YouTuber named Jidion, Jidion, in Ukraine. So this guy was all over the place, apparently. Which is very strange. And in the video for the Newsweek, he says he sold everything to go to Ukraine and risk his life for Ukraine. He kind of starts crying, and you're like, is this guy okay? You know what I mean? Because it's like, from the sort of normie perspective with the whole thing, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know geopolitics. Anyway, I don't want to go soapboxy on you guys, but if it's true that Ukraine is sort of like the democracy, Western democracy, and Russia's this dictator totalitarian thing, then like, you know, whatever. But I think to sell everything you own and go fight over there is like next level. I'm like, bro, you pay taxes, like let the pros handle it if that's the stance you want to take, and you're like, yeah, I support this. Like, guess what? We are supporting it. We're paying a lot of money, a ton of money right now for it. Because from what I understand, the idea is that if Russia can take Ukraine, they will continue taking over other countries. Is it true? I don't know. You're going to have to come to your own conclusions on that. Which takes me to the political angle, right? What's this guy's voting background? Because you hear reports everywhere. I'm going to read you from AP News. The voter records show he registered as an unaffiliated voter in North Carolina in 2012. That's me. I'm an unaffiliated voter. Yikes. Is that scary? Just means you don't have political party allegiance, which I'm trying to think of how that works in Utah. You can't vote in certain primaries. I don't remember how it works, but it does limit you on some things. But, you know, it's like I don't pledge affiliation. Devotion. Like, you got to work for my vote. I vote for whoever I think is the best leader suited for the position. Let's see here. Most recently, he had voted in person during the state's Democratic primary in March. Routh also made 19 small donations totaling $140 since 2019 through Act Blue, a political action committee that distributes donations to Democratic candidates. I think they were saying Crooks donated $10 to them too, weren't they? In a tweet in June 2020, after the police killing of George Floyd, Routh said then-President Trump could win re-election by issuing an executive order to prosecute police misconduct. However, in recent years, his posts appear to have soured on Trump, and he expressed support for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And lots of people think that this was a political act to take him out. And lots of people think that the fact that that Trump's getting these attempts taken on his life proves that he's the savior, proves that the system is out to get him, right? Even J.D. Vance mentioned it in the New York Times. He said, no one has tried to kill Kamala Harris in the last couple of months. What? And two people now have tried to kill Donald Trump in the last couple of months. I think that's pretty strong evidence that the left needs to tone down the rhetoric or somebody's going to get hurt. Now, to be fair, both parties have... It doesn't really matter which party is got the president. There's been attempts on damn near every president's life. There's a Wikipedia post that rattles off a bunch of them. I'm sure that's not all of them. Like, Obama had like 12 attempts when he was president. So I don't know if that's a partisan thing. I think there's nutty people on both sides, right? Obviously, it's a big country. Now let's wrap it up with a look at this guy's book. That's right, he wrote a whole book called Ukraine's Unwinnable War, The Fatal Flaw of Democracy, World Abandonment. He misspelled the title, abandonment. He misspelled the title, folks. Like, that's what we're working with here, okay? He's got two misspelled. He spelled Afghanistan wrong as well. World Abandonment and the Global Citizen, Taiwan, Afghanistan, North Korea, World War III, and the End of Humanity. Now, I didn't read this in cover to cover because I could barely make it through the title. But I looked at a few things. I looked up some keywords, looking for alchemy, symbolism, the occult. None of that's in there, at least not from the searches. But I did look up assassination in chapter 18. The title is, Why Has Putin Not Been Assassinated? Ugh. This guy's radical. I'm going to read you from his book in his words. Quote, the swirling question in every chat around the world is to why Putin has not been killed yet. In the USA, we have many killed. JFK, MLK, Robert Kennedy, Malcolm X, John Lennon, Tupac, Biggie, Jimmy Hoffa. So many that we cannot even remember them all. What has happened to the Russian people that they are brainwashed into totally blind sheep? There was one incident of a Russian man shooting a recruiter because he did not want to die for his country, but that is all I am aware of. The few protests and one reporter that bucked the system. I have asked many occasions of countless people in Ukraine to cross over into Russia and smuggle ourselves to Moscow to handle the job, but all help loses, misspelled, its courage and will to make something happen. Okay. Then he goes on and he compares it to chopping the head off a snake, and then he proposes another way we could do it. Listen to this. He says, we'll ship in international waters to bomb every single one of his residences at the same time so that he knows it was not from a single country, but some rich guy's boat. Let me borrow a boat, and we will launch thousands at the same time. We must act and not sit back and do nothing or not try anything. We are all cowards and spineless people with no moral compass. A handful of men with a few razor blades were able to hijack 4 commercial airplanes and take down the World Trade Towers and the Pentagon, and we cannot kill a 5'4" man in Moscow? First off, is bro 5'4"? Is that true? I don't know if Putin's 5'4". And look, all this violent talk, man, this isn't good. This isn't good. Okay, first result says 5'7". Dang, okay. Now, later in the book, he suggests that Iran should do it. He said, not Putin, but Trump. He says, you are free to assassinate Trump as well as me for that error in judgment and the dismantling of the deal. No one here in the U.S. seems to have the balls to put natural selection to work, or even unnatural selection. This guy's very violent. And then he talks about nuking Russia. Yeah. He says, when I look back at Hiroshima and Nagasaki or tragic events such as Chernobyl and Fukushima, it all may be horrible, but we have been able to manage the cleanup and deal with the disaster. Why are we afraid to deal with that again? mentally disturbed guy, right? This isn't good. It's kind of violence. There's no room for this. Then he talks about his political views on a different area. He says, I get so tired of people asking me if I am a Democrat or Republican, as I refuse to be put in a category, and I must always answer independent, and I think that most intelligent people judge every situation case by case and vote solely on the merit of the candidate and not about parties or groups. That's how I look at it. So maybe I'm crazy too. I am obviously opposed to all religions, as they seem to do more harm. They all do more harm than good. Most of our wars and genocide are caused by divisions by religion. I personally prefer to support my country and not waste time praying to some imaginary thing to change my life when I change my life myself through hard work and lots of thought. Now, this is exactly what all of the, when you get into the world of like geopolitics and this Illuminati New World Order, this is what they want. They want the new religion to be worship of the government. Right? That's what they want. They want atheists who worship the government, worship the state, which sounds absolutely nuts. I mean, look, I get how people aren't religious and people say, wow, that seems like some crazy stuff. I get it. It's hard to believe. But I also think, like, you're pretty crazy to think that you should worship the government. Like, we must make our own way and carve our own paths. Yada, yada, yada. Then he talks about, listen to this one. He talks about getting rid of all men. And T, getting rid of testosterone, what? How's Isaac going to hit the CrossFit gym? Can't get rid of all the, I mean, save me some, dude. Quote, how about a world with no men? How peaceful would our world be if we could have evolved to reproduce without the male gender and all of its selfish, greedy, arrogant, self-serving, macho BS? Oh, what a quiet and peaceful place this world would be. I'm like, bro, that's you too. What are you talking about? I get what he's saying. Like, if there's some violent stuff going on, it's more than likely a man doing it, right? Perhaps we can extract all the testosterone from all future generations and make the male population more kind and caring and eliminate all conflict-mongering pricks. Bro, you literally are like trying to shoot the president. What are you talking about? Sorry to all the girls looking for those rough gunslinging cowboys. Those redneck, barbaric, crude days need to be done with, and the whole population of the world needs to be educated that such behavior is not to be tolerated. I mean, and that fits into a lot of this, like, Jonas Salk stuff. When you get into this realm of eugenics and where they want to take us to this sort of genderless thing and, you know, big pharma, corporate America, and the toxins and poisons are all lowering the levels of testosterone. And, you know, I mean, massive argument, massive discussion there that, I do believe that men, we need to do better. You know what I mean? Like, we definitely need to do better. There's way too much violence going on. There's way, you know, it's, I love women. So, like, I'm certainly not in his camp. Get rid of all men. You're insane. You're insane. And then he's talking about gunslinging cowboys and like, you were literally that guy at the golf course. And then the book wraps up and there's a photo of him draped in a bunch of flags. And the book has, the book's disturbing. I highly recommend you do not buy this book. I did it for you guys. There's a ton of photos of dead people. Primarily in the Middle East, dead babies. It's like some real faces of death. Heads cut off. I'm not even joking. I'm there's literally, and I'm not joking, there's a decapitated baby that I saw. I can't unsee it. It's in my head now. So there's that. And he was trying to show how barbaric the Taliban was. And like on one level, I get it that you have to show, because in American media, they showed a bunch of the war scenes in Vietnam, and ever since then, they're like, we're not doing that again because it's horrific. But I think on one level, people need to know how horrific things can be so that you make the right decisions about things, right? On the other hand, I did not sign up to see a decapitated baby. That was traumatic, right? I'm shocked. This guy was able to self-publish this book on Amazon. They blocked. I wrote a little mini book about stabbies, and they blocked it. I wasn't allowed to post it. But this guy's got these insanely violent images. Now let's talk about symbolism, my forte, and then we're going to wrap it up, and we're done. Time Magazine published on September 11th, 4 days before this incident, has a image of Trump on a golf cart stuck in a sand trap, and it says in trouble. Now, that's very strange, right? Because he is in fact in trouble on the golf course 4 days later. If there's truth to that, I mean, I guess the conspiracy people are like, oh, see, the media knew it, right? I guess the conspiracy would be that Time Magazine was somehow in on this or something. So I looked at it. The owner of Time Magazine is Salesforce, which is a software company, and the CEO creator, I think the creator, is Mark Benioff. And he's interesting because his second cousin is a guy named David Benioff, who co-created and wrote Game of Thrones. That's right. He wrote the whole thing, including that dreaded last season, which he apparently was in a big hurry to go work with Disney on some Star Wars BS, so all of us Game of Thrones fans got screwed with that rushed, terrible season. There was a huge protest on change.org to redo the whole last season. There was like over a million signatures. And, you know, David, he stood on iniquitous business. He refused. He's like, no, that's what you get. However, he wrote, his first book was The 25th Hour, which was later turned into a film by Spike Lee, and that's one of my favorite films of all time. I loved it. it's a little dry, but it's really good, man. I loved it. Edward Norton, Rosario Dawson. Ah, great movie. I'm going to watch it right now. David Benioff, also married to Amanda Peet. Now, Mark Benioff, the guy who's effectively owns Time, what's his politics about? Well, it's hard to tell. He does a lot of things that seems to care about people, a lot of like left-leaning things as well. It says in 2003, President George Bush appointed Benioff co-chair of the President's Information Technology Advisory Committee. In 2009, Benioff was named a young global leader by the World Economic Forum. Uh-oh. Klaus Schwab. The Great Reset. So, hard to say. I don't know. Doesn't go into his politics. Now, if I was to guess, I would guess because he has some left-leaning activities. I would say maybe, but it doesn't make you a Democrat, right? You can have like progressive viewpoints and not be associated with the DNC. I mean, he was apparently close with George Bush, so I don't know. It's hard to say. Now, and it wasn't Putin part of the World Economic Forum Young Global Leader group too as well? I think he was. He's definitely not a left-leaning guy. Then finally, the Steve Jackson Illuminati card game. It comes up every time there's an event, and this time there is a card that says Second Bullet with a guy in the crosshairs. So some people say that is, what happened here. So in conclusion, let's wrap it up. My throat hurts. He's Ryan Routh. He's very involved with Ukraine, okay, with soldiers and recruiting. So if he's tied in with the intelligence agencies, I don't know, they could have or would have been using him possibly because he's unstable and has this arrest history. I don't know. It's very strange, though. And as a takeaway, let's just get through the year. Can we do that? And this is why I dislike politics and political conspiracies. It's like the low-lying fruit. Every day there's some new outrage. And who knows what's real anymore. Today there was a fake bomb threat, apparently a Trump rally. And with AI and deepfakes, social media, it's getting really tough to know what is real and what to believe in, okay? I have to fact check so much stuff all the time. It's exhausting. And I know that politics is divisive, and I know that, and I'm not above it. I get pulled into it too, as you probably know. But one thing the main reason why it's not good is because it can take you out of living in the present, okay? It can steal your louche, as the great Sam Tripoli would say. Even me, I said, let's just get through the year, right? That's not a good attitude. That implies what? You just suffer? I'm going to suffer through. I just got to make it to 2025. Once this is over, I'll be good then. Like, no, be good now. Live in the now. Enjoy your life now. We're sitting here and riled up and hating people. You got to embrace positive things in your life and be a source of light and love for everyone, for the people around you. I lost a close friend of mine last week, I found out. And I don't say that because I'm trying to get your sympathy. I'm saying that because it really messed me up. I mean, he was a couple years younger than me, but basically my age. And it's just, everything collapses in. I had no idea it happened. And it just makes me feel, and I thought, for a solid hour, I was messed up. And I thought, this is crazy. Just, is this what this is about? This experience is working. Life's blowing me by. These people, I had literally talked about reaching out to him maybe less than 2 weeks ago. Because I hadn't talked to him in years. Like, probably 5 years, I haven't seen him. We were real close for maybe 10 years. And I was going to catch up with him. And I found out he died. And I just was like, how many times is this going to bite me in the ass of not staying in touch with people? It's, trying to stay positive is not easy to do. Especially when you're trying to make content, when you're talking politics, when you're trying to pay attention, make the right choice for an election because you care about your country and you're a patriot and care about people. You can get really, really pulled into it, but like, don't let the year blow by and it's like, What, you're going to do all this fighting and arguing and then next year, you know, tell your wife you love her? Then don't do that. Do it now. Step out. Unplug. And that's my advice for you. Take it or leave it. And, you know, hopefully I don't come back with a Trump part five. That's all I'm saying. Now, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to parts 1, 2, and 3 if you want more on this awful subject. And if, you know, you probably saw their Diddy's also in the news. I mean, that's more up my alley. But then also, I think, gets very Epstein-ish, right? Which you could argue about this Ryan Routh guy. Like, let's see what happens to him in the prison cell. You know, every truther out there is, I'm going to predict right now he didn't kill himself. Wow. It's a stretch. So if he does, I guess they can be like, see, I was right. He's tied in and they, it's like, or he's like really unstable mentally. Like he might just do that or maybe not. Maybe he is tied in and they're taking him out like the way they took out Epstein. I'm more worried about Diddy. Diddy's got a lot of secrets in his little head. And I'd be curious to see what goes on with that. If you didn't listen, I've got probably 10 hours of Diddy shows over the last couple of years. My most recent episode was a bonus show where I play you the full two and a half hour Higher Side Chats appearance I made back in April, where we talked about Diddy for 2.5 hours. I posted that on the bonus feed. You can listen to the free feed preview. It's like the first half of the show, the first hour. And on that post, I've got links to previous Diddy shows. I did a 3-hour deep dive that's super relevant now. If you haven't listened to that, I mean, go spend the $5, sign up, listen to it, and then, you know, hopefully you stick around. But if you don't, it's worth $5. I'm telling you right now, I did days of research on Diddy for this 3-hour deep dive I did back in June. Okay. If you're on Apple Podcasts, I think you can do a free trial for a week and then just turn it off if you don't want to support your favorite podcaster. But thank you for listening to the show. And, you know, I don't know. I want to try to be a beacon of light in your world if I can. It gets ugly. It gets dark. I'm not above it. So I'm going to do my best to stay positive too. Okay? Until next time, stay positive.